All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm rarely blown away, but right now I am blown away by the assemblage that's here in the studio. It's Dane Neal filling in for Wendy, and it's myself. And sitting with us right now to talk about the Beatles and the Fest for Beatles fans are Denny Lane, formerly of Wings, Neil Innes, one of the creators of what I consider to be, and we'll talk about this in a second, Neil, one of the greatest parodies of all time, The Ruddles, but we'll discuss that, and Mark Hudson from one of my favorite TV shows of all time, the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle Comedy Hour.
There he was.
How are you, Mark? It's great to see all of you guys. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for
being
here.
Let's start out with you just for a second, Neil, because I know that you don't see The Ruddles as a parody of the Beatles, do you?
No, I think it was an affectionate thing towards this other group who got everything from us, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, it's
like a companion piece.
I didn't want to just do... It's a hard one to sort of actually explain, but it's nuanced. It's not like a parody. The songs in themselves, if they're going to do any respect, show any respect for the Beatles' canon of work, you know, they had to sort of live up to it in their own way.
Yeah.
And when I wrote the songs, and it was a challenge, I didn't know whether I'd make it or not. And I thought, well, I won't listen to any Beatles songs because I'll be sunk if I do. So I just tried to remember the signpost ones.
It's so funny because most people doing what you did would listen to the songs over and over and over to try to catch the nuances, but you decided to go the opposite way.
No, absolutely. I knew I wouldn't have a thought. So I tried to put myself in my life when those songs were around.
Yeah.
And if you take something like Double Back Alley, it's like... It's not Penny Lane or whatever, things like that. It's me seeing old footage of, you know, between the wars,
right?
You know, and that kind of thing, and getting into that.
It's genius.
So that, you know, you sort of have to write, you know, not parodies, but songs about the same sort of
thing. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, it's like, you know, Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
You know, I was working with the Scorpions, and they walked out of the movie because they thought it was about them.
Believe me, I'm not going to hit this movie.
Easy, Klaus. Easy. And so the same thing with the Ruddle. There's this thing that it captures, but it was every band.
Oh, yeah?
And that really every band. Just the black and white and all that stuff made it be more reminiscent of.
I used to manage a video store, and frequently I would play a tape of the Ruddles. And I can't tell you how many times, or over a year and a half, that people came up and they'd say, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and I have never heard that song before. And I'd have to explain, it's not the Beatles, it's the Ruddles, and I hope I sold you a lot more CDs and 8-track tapes. I hope.
Well, yeah, but it's the other side of the Ruddles stories is it was the most wonderful rip-off.
Yeah.
But we thought, let's not go there.
It's so funny. It's so funny. Denny, the Paul McCartney you worked with was different from the Beatles' Paul McCartney in what ways?
Well, he had the freedom to be, you know, do his own thing. He didn't want to follow the Beatles. I couldn't follow the Moody Blues. You had to go in another direction.
Yeah.
And always, and business-wise too, songwriting-wise, you know, everything we'd done in the past, we had to leave behind and try and go forward. And that was the best way to do it. So he was, you know, probably more sort of, well, it was a new band. But I knew him from years before, so that's a big difference. So it was like he had a partner in crime, and that's why he wanted me in there. Because he could just be in a band again, sort of thing, but it wasn't the Beatles.
But did you ever feel the pressure of, I can't be John Lennon? Did that ever weigh on you? No?
No, because, I mean, you know, like I say, I knew him pretty well. I knew them right from the early days, before Wings, way before, before they even had a hit. So I felt like part of, you feel bands are the same. They all sort of feel like they're in everybody
else's
band.
We've all been in a van.
We've all been in a van, slept on the Mellotron.
It was also kind of scary. Remember, when you're coming from the Beatles, as soon as they broke out individually, there's a fear factor in that because you're one guy that has three other guys right next to you that sort of were like your wingman. They were covering for you or pushing you to be better. All of a sudden, when they were all by themselves, it was like, oh, God.
Yeah. It was scary. Scary. What do we do now?
When you look at kind of that assemblage of talents, and when they went off all, you know, on their own and had their own kind of different, very unique kind of brands of success with Paul McCartney, are you surprised? Obviously, he went out, you know, was such a big part of all of the songs, you know, with the Beatles, but then so many hits on his own. And then now he was just here, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago doing a complete
shows. Yeah.
Okay, sold out concerts. Are you surprised not only that how he's able to do it? The shows are amazing. I saw him 2 years ago at Lollapalooza, but that the fan support is there. This longevity, nothing has been lost on the fans when it comes to the Beatles. They love the music, young and old, still today.
The grandkids are following through, and of course, this Fest for Beatles fans is big. That's been going for 40 years, and it's kept the thing going, too.
And their kids showing up at that now. You know, yep. Remember, for every Helter Skelter, there's also Yellow Submarine.
Right.
Yeah. One,
right.
Two, three, four, can I have... It's basically Sesame Street with an English accent. Oh, thanks for coming.
If you can call Liverpool an English accent.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. I have to almost do that one.
I want to ask you the stupidest question anyone's ever asked you. Are you ready? Why is James Coburn on the cover of Band on the Run?
Because he happened to be in town at the time.
Is that why?
Yeah. The whole point of that was, who's in town and who can we get on the cover? And he was one of them. But, of course, of the other people, we kind of knew. You know, we knew John Conte, for example, because he was a boxer from Liverpool. He's a friend of Paul's. Kenny Lynch, we knew, he was a comedian. Yeah. You know, some of them were people we wanted, but, like, Clement Freud, who knew he was going to be on it? You know, he's the... What, the grandson of Sigmund Freud?
Right. I mean,
all sorts of people that you never expected, all in the same room with Christopher Lee. And it was fun.
I know I was overthinking it as a child, but I would say to myself, I'd be listening to the music and looking at the cover going, In Like Flint is on the cover of this record.
The cover made sense because it kind of had a James Bond-esque kind of look with the spotlight.
Well,
and
that's true.
I
never thought about that.
Yeah.
So he had that sort of
intrigue.
But he was big in England, too, if you know what I mean. That's why he was in town. See what I mean? Like, they liked all that stuff.
Well, and my brothers and I, all we had was Menudo on the record.
Close.
That counts. Yeah, you still get points for that, Mark. Yeah. The Fest for Beatles fans is taking place this weekend at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare in Rosemont. If you're interested, and why wouldn't you be? Thefest.com has all your ticket information. We'll take a quick break and then continue next. It's Bill and Dane sitting in for Wendy on WGN. All right, Fest for Beatles fans takes place this weekend at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare in Rosemont. Denny Lane, who played with Paul McCartney on Wings and quite a musician in his own right, is here, as is Neil Innes, the creator of the Ruddles, the co-creator of the Ruddles, and Mark Hudson, one of the Hudson brothers, one of my three favorite Hudson brothers of all time.
Thanks.
You're very, very welcome. Neil, when you hear that music today, like the Beatles music, it holds up beautifully, doesn't it? Why wouldn't it?
Lucky, really. No, I tell you about the whole project, you know, right? From the accidental way it was born, from that little BBC television show.
Yeah.
It was all supposed to be cheap and cheerful.
Yeah.
From four guys in wigs and tight trousers running around in a field, Benny Hill style in black and white, to Eric's idea of having a documentary maker who was so dull the camera ran away from him.
Right.
So you could not pitch a thing like it. It just happened. And I have to say that just about everybody involved in it had a great time. It was just
a fun project.
Even girls chasing the cars in Liverpool. One fell over and hurt her knee. I said, it's only a film, you know. She said, oh, no, we're having a great time.
Is it one of the lines in there they asked somebody, what set the Ruddles apart from other bands? And the answer was their trousers.
Oh, yeah.
That's what set them apart.
Actually, Barry Wong, you know, when we put out a second Ruddle album, which I wasn't too sure about at first, but he said, well, you know, now we got older.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the trousers so much as we can do our own ironing. That's what the girls like now.
Mark, the Hudson brothers were quite a thing. I mean, was there three different Hudson brothers television shows?
Yeah. Well, see, the first one we replaced Sonny and Cher.
The Razzle Dazzle Comedy Hour.
Well, no, it was a Sonny and Cher show. And we were regulars on that show.
Yeah.
And then Cher became like a huge fan. My brother Brett lived with her sister Georgianne for eight years. And when Cher was pregnant, she lived with me.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark Earl, I'm having a baby, Mark Earl. I still can't understand. And then what ended up happening from there, we replaced them in the summer and then did Razzle Dazzle after that, which ran for 3 years. We were like the first live action guys on set. In fact, one of my greatest John Lennon compliments, he called us the kings of Saturday morning.
Really?
He would sit around with, well, it's a show. And he'd watch that stupid show. And we were doing things that we probably shouldn't have, which I won't even mention, but we were making motions that are wrong.
They were obscene.
Yes, they were. And we got away with it. And then another show after that was bonkers.
Yeah, with Bob Monkhouse.
Bob Monkhouse, yeah. Which was England.
Yeah.
And then we ended up like doing more, splitting up. I was the band leader for Joan Rivers. Hooked up with Aerosmith and then produced 8 Ringo albums, which gives me a big Beatle connection.
Were you also on the show Sarah with Gina Davis and Bill Maher? That was you?
I played the next door neighbor that always wanted to be the boyfriend.
Right.
And Bill Maher was on it.
Yeah.
Bronson Pinchot, Alfie Woodard, like all these
incredible
great
cast
people.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they always let me knock on the door and do an ad lib.
Oh, that's
fun. Because I was like an unwed father with a son, and he was kind of like a puppet.
That's perfect. That's
kind of like what
fun
you guys are, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know where your hand goes, but I made him talk.
We aspire to that. No, we don't, obviously. What is so great about the Beatles, obviously the music and what it means to people and the connections that people have with the music, but the fest itself. So explain what people are going to experience there. I'm sure there'll be the whole vibe, memorabilia. You guys.
It's a family. There's a marketplace where you can get memorabilia going back to original signatures and beautiful stuff and T-shirts that you don't see in the regular stores. The marketplace is great. And then there's individual stuff. Denny will do like the Denny moment with the other guys in Wings, Lawrence Juber, Denny Sywell. And they're going to do that. Neil is going to talk about his stuff. I do. And then on Saturday night, the big night, we all go out and play. And everyone does their individual stuff. And then it ends with a huge jam session.
Oh, is that going to be incredible?
Which is really just...
It's also Battle of the Bands.
Oh, yes, Battle of the Bands.
Other
like people
sitting in corners, families playing the songs.
Oh.
They have like a Beatle booth where you can go in and do like karaoke Beatles. I mean, it's not just people our age that were Beatle fans. You see children there that are 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
Because they have transcended. Sgt. Pepper, it was his 50th anniversary, and the record came out number one. I don't care who you like.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's Kanye, U2, name who you want. No one is going to release a record 50 years later and have it come into the charts.
Except the Beatles.
And the Beatles are those guys.
So when you hear, I mean, you could debate who's the greatest NBA player of all time or what's the greatest movie of all time, but have you ever heard a credible argument that there was ever a band more important than the Beatles? I've never heard one.
No. Ruttles.
The Ruttles are
that argument, of course.
In the 60s, I remember they always tried to make the Beatles and Stones connection, like the rivalry.
Yeah.
Well, Lennon and McCartney wrote the first Rolling Stone single, I Want to Be Your Man. And then if you look at All You Need Is Love, the video everyone at Abbey wrote, you see Mick Jagger staring at John like, please, shower with me,
right,
John. So, fans. Did I say shower with me?
No, I didn't hear you say shower. No, you didn't say that. Denny, dispel a rumor for me. Linda McCartney was a part of Wings, but people say, well, obviously she was there because she was Paul's wife. But she added a lot more than just being Paul's wife, didn't she?
Well, she certainly encouraged him to do it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And, you know, she was, she was a fan.
Yeah.
But she actually had a pretty good voice, funnily enough, even though on stage, of course, it was harder for her. She wasn't experienced, so she forgot a lot of things and things like that. In the studio, she had a good quality voice. And of course, Paul wanted her in Scotland, they just spent the time together, and her was the only thing. So he got her into it that way.
But there was some
muse
factor.
She didn't want to be in the band.
Oh, she didn't want to be.
No, she didn't really want to be. But
well, the other thing
he took it to the next level, and that was it. You know,
it comes down to love, too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, it's the word that can't be defined.
Right.
There is no corner to love. It's this circle, and you can pick where you want it to be. But John loved Yoko Ono.
Yeah.
You think what you want, say what you want. He loved her. Paul McCartney loved Linda.
Yeah.
Say what you want. That's just the way that it is. If my wife were here, I'd want her in my band.
Yeah.
She'd have to color her beard with mine. I'd want her to be in the band.
But what they provide sometimes is inspiration, and there is that muse factor, and that's important, isn't it?
Encouragement, meaning after the Beatles, as I said, you know, what do you do now? And he was pretty depressed, so it's well known that he was. And then they're fighting over the money and all that thing was like huge, and you know, he was walking around with a scotch and coke every day because he didn't know what to do.
Yeah,
and she pulled him out of that, in fact financed him for a little while
right
too.
right.
when I got there.
And you said Scotch and Coke. What does that mean?
I told the story.
I just love the story. No, I wanted to hear it again like a
child. We went to a club, the Beatles and the Moody Blues, ended up in a club called the Ad Lib Club in London, which is where all the entertainers used to go. And you really shouldn't be in there, you know, if you're a band, right? Yeah. So we're all sitting around the table. They go around asking, the waiter's asking everybody what drinks they want. We said this and this. And they came to John and he said, what have you got? He said, well, scotch, gin, you know, bourbon, whatever. Yeah. He says, I don't like any of them. What else you got? He said, oh, 7-Up, Coke, you know, orange juice. He says, well, give us a scotch and Coke.
Yeah.
And that was born that night.
Oh,
and
really?
Ever since then, the Moody's and the Beatles all drank scotch and Coke. And but to this day, we wrote Molly of Kintyre on a bottle of scotch and Coke. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Yeah, the Beatles are that influential in every way.
Oh, so much so.
And my brothers and I beat up Sparks twice in London.
Did you, Ronnie and Sparks?
Yeah, because they were brothers, too.
Yeah, I remember
that. And we
were
signed to Elton John's label, and Bernie Taupin was our producer. And we used to go to the Pizza Express and get, like, an American pizza as we're on Wardour Street. And there was Sparks, the one that kind of looked like Charlie Chaplin and the guy with too much hair.
Ronnie.
And they looked at us like, well, you're a brother band, but so are we. And we're better. And now we're Italian. We're like, really? You're better? And boom,
trouble.
They got pizza. Oh, no. I want to apologize to him. If you Sparks are out there, please forgive me.
Just extend the olive branch.
Yeah, like, I got to sit now, at least. I'm old.
Now.
Sparks were flying.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
they definitely were, Neil. All right, really quick. It's unfair when a band comes along and somebody goes, that's the next Beatles, but that happened so very simply. Will there ever be another anything even close to what the Beatles were? There won't, will there?
Well, as Mick Jagger said, I hope not. It's human nature, isn't it? It's something that touches everybody. It's like Laurel and Hardy. There'll never be another Laurel and Hardy. It's human scale. I got a grandson who, right from an early age, when I showed him Laurel and Hardy, he would laugh from his toes.
Mm-hmm.
It would come all the way up from his, you know, and he'd cry with laughter, you know, because he just got it, you know. And I think it's a similar factor that you've got in Beatles songs.
Yep. Well, it's also timing. You know, they happened to hit the era where it was perfect. There was a war and a revolution, the sexual revolution, the changing of all that stuff, and they hit that time period.
Yeah.
It could not have been more perfect.
Derek Taylor summed it up. He said, the Beatles, you know, caught the bus. He said, no, the Beatles were the bus.
You think about the timing, and I think that time period was a vehicle for a lot of music and a lot of things to kind of move forward. But you look at the popularity that they had started then. It goes all the way to this day, to this weekend, to the fest for the Beatles. It's thefest.com, I think, is the website where people can see all the memorabilia, all the acts, being able to be up close and personal with you guys, get tickets.
So much fun. We're out there signing autographs and pictures.
Amazing
it's
stories.
It's really, really loose. It's really family.
Yep.
And it's really Beatles. It doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't.
I don't think Kanye's going to have a face.
No, it will be different. Denny Lane, Neil Innes, Mark Hudson, all an honor to talk to you guys. Again, the fest is called Fest for Beatles Fans. It takes place at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare in Rosemont all this weekend. You want to visit their website. It's thefest.com. Tickets are on sale there. Guys, an honor. Thank you so much for being here.
Case,
really appreciate
it. Song on the way out, or
yeah, please play away, play us out.
Me.
It's all about me.
Can't buy me love.